गिरिवरधारी जय गोपी जन बलवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय जगतनाथ जगतनाथ बलदेवा जय सुभद्रा। जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय। जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद। जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद।
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवार जगाचार्य श्रोत सत्य श्री श्रीमती डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरंगा। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरे। नष्टे प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Canto 8, Chapter 3, titled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, and today we are discussing text number 19.
Yam dharma kamartha vimukti kama Yam dharma karmatha vimukti kama भजन्ता इष्टां गतिम् अप्नुवतिन्ति भजन्ता इष्टां गतिम् अप्नुवन्ति। किं च शिशोरति अपि देहाम् अव्ययाम् करोतु मे भद्रोदयो विमोक्षनाम्। यम धर्मा कामर्था विमुक्ति कामा भजन्ता इष्टां गतिम् अप्नुवन्ति। किं च शिशोरत्यपि देहयमयम् करोतु मे भद्रादयो विमोक्षनाम्। यम धर्मा कामर्था विमुक्ति कामा भजन्ता इष्टां गतिम् आप्नुवन्ति। किं च शिशोरति अपि देहाम् अव्ययाम् करोतु मे भद्रादयो विमोक्षनाम्।
यम धर्मा कामर्था विमुक्ति कामा भजन्ता इष्टां विमाप्नुवन्ति किं चाशिशोराति अपि देहम् अव्ययाम् करोतु मे दभ्रादयो मुक्षणाम् यम धर्म कामर्थ विमुक्ति कामा भजन्ता इष्टां गतिम् अप्नुवन्ति किं चाशिशोरति अपि देहम् अव्ययाम् करोतु मे दभ्रादयो विमोक्षणाम् यम धर्म कामर्थ विमुक्ति कामा भजन्ता इष्टां गतिम् आप्नुवन्ति किं चाशिशोरतिपि देवहं यव्याम् करोतु मे दभ्रादयो विमोक्षणाम् यम धर्म कामर्थ विमुक्ति कामा भजन्ता इष्टां गतिम् आप्नुवन्ति किं चाशिशोरति अपि देहम् अव्ययाम् करोतु मे दभ्रादयो विमोक्षणाम् यम धर्म कामर्थ विमुक्ति कामा भजन्ता इष्टां गतिम् आप्नुवन्ति किं चाशिशोरति अपि देहव्ययाम् करोतु मे दभ्रादयो विमोक्षणाम्
Yam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who Dharma Kama Artha Vimukti Kamaha, persons who desire the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. Bhajanta, by worshipping, Ishtam, the objective, Gatim, destination, Apnuvanti, can achieve, Kim, what to speak of, Cha, also, Asisha, other benedictions, Rati, He bestows, api, even, deham, a body, avyayam, spiritual, karotu, may he bestow benediction, may, unto me, adhabra dayaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is unlimitedly merciful. Vimokshanam, liberation from the present danger and from the material world. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. After worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, obtain from him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life. Purport. Some men within this material world are akami, free from material desire. Some are ambitious to get more and more material profit, and some desire fulfillment in religious life, economic development, sense gratification, and finally liberation. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradhi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text number 10. It is recommended that whatever one's position, whether one demands no material profit, all material profit, or ultimately liberation, one should offer his obedient devotional service to the Lord, and one will get what he desires. Krishna is so kind. Ye yathamam prapadayante tamas tateva bhajami aham. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 4, Text number 11. The Lord reciprocates. Whatever even an ordinary living entity wants, Krishna gives. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and he gives that which is desired by the living entity. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridaye arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra dudani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. From Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 18, Text number 61. The Lord gives everyone an opportunity to fulfill his ambitions. Even such a devotee as Dhruva Maharaj wanted the material benediction of a kingdom greater than that of his father. And although he received a spiritual body, he also got the kingdom. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not disappoint anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Therefore, since Gajendra, king of the elephants, had surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to get free from the present danger and indirectly from the present danger of materialistic life, why should the Supreme Personality of Godhead not fulfill his desire? Om Agyan Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakal Patiru Bhashya Kripa Sindhu Bhaya Ivacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I'll read the translation one more time. After worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation obtain from him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life. So it is continuation of Gajendra's prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we all know, Gajendra was taking bath along with his other family members and members of the herd in the lake, where a crocodile caught his leg. And now a tussle is going on between the two. And when Gajendra realized that he is getting weaker and weaker, he is losing strength, and the crocodile is becoming stronger, he somehow remembered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the last several verses, he is praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So, until now, whatever we have read in this chapter shows us different ways of glorifying the Lord. So, initially, Gajendra was talking about the devotees of the Lord, how they pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now, in the last few verses, he is directly himself glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in this particular verse, it is said that the Lord fulfills everyone's desires. So, in other words, Krishna, being very, very compassionate, reciprocates the mood and the expectations with which we approach Krishna, he will reciprocate. Now, the important thing is that though the Lord fulfills the desire, but sometimes we may not get that feeling, because we have very limited understanding and knowledge. So sometimes, even though our desire is getting fulfilled, but because more desires come up, we do not really feel that our initial desire with which we went to the Lord has been fulfilled. When a devotee approaches the Lord with some desires, it is very interesting that Lord fulfills the desires, but he fulfills in a way that they will be desire to serve the Lord more. So that is, your desires are getting fulfilled, and at the same time, you are getting inspiration to serve more. So that way, sometimes it may be even more demanding. Sometimes we say, okay, Lord, give me some, I'm overwhelmed with my services. I cannot really cope up with them. And the Lord says, okay, fine, but your current desire gets fulfilled. But what happens in return may be even more demanding. So we have to be extremely careful when we are making such desires at the lotus feet of the Lord. There's a tree in Vrindavan, the temple. When we visit that temple, there's a tree there in the courtyard of the temple. And it is said that it is the desire tree. So if you desire something, it will be fulfilled. So normally, the guide, when they take you to that particular temple, they warn you before you go anywhere near that tree, that be extremely careful, because even in your heart, if you have some desire which you have not even openly expressed, it may get fulfilled. And sometimes the desires may not necessarily be a positive desire. Sometimes they may be even negative desires, and so one has to be extremely careful when one approaches the Lord with such intentions. Then Srila Prabhupada says that in a civilized, peaceful society, people are generally, by and large, religious. And when they are practicing religion, they are practicing it with the intention of getting some economic development. We are talking here about dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So, when they are doing well, when there is some economic development, we have resources, then the next step is that we want our sense gratification program to be fulfilled. I have money, so I want to use this money to, what all I desired before I had the money. So I will use it that way. But eventually, it doesn't really bring us any happiness. So Prabhupada says that after having failed to become satisfied in the sense gratification program, such people, they desire moksha. So that is liberation from the material bondage. So these are the basic needs of humanity, which is being discussed here. Though it is said here that the Lord fulfills these desires. If one approaches the Lord with such desires, they will be fulfilled. But our acharyas, Narada and other acharyas, they indicate that these are not the highest level. So, what a devotee desires, what would a devotee want? That is the important question. In what way is a devotee different than the normal or ordinary karmi people who approach the Lord with some expectations? So our acharyas say, actually even Lord Chaitanya says that a devotee always asks the Lord for more devotional service, a growth in the devotional service. Whatever I am doing today, I should be, the way I am serving today, I should be able to serve better tomorrow than what I am doing today. So that is the mood of a devotee when he or she approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when we are discussing these four principles here, principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. So, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that when one approaches the Lord in a surrendered mood, and is offering services in that mood, then what happens? It leads to a process of purification. And when that process takes place, the nature of our desires will change. So that is one of the reasons why service is very, very important. And service actually not, like Srila Prabhupada says, service not to XYZ, but service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Service, serving the spiritual master, serving the Vaishnavas. So that leads to a process of purification. And it will be eventually lead to the desire to please Krishna. So this is a gradual process which we can ourselves engage in, and we can experience this also, that as we serve without any fruitive expectations, then we want to serve more, and we want to serve again. I mean, our fruitive desires, they slowly get eliminated. So in Nectar of Devotion, some of you are doing Bhakti Shastri here, but some of you may have read Nectar of Devotion. So Rupa Goswami gives a indication of pure bhakti. He gives six indications. What is the first one? A question. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami talks about the indications of pure bhakti. He gives six indications. What is the first one? Yes. So, freedom from material distress. That is the first one. There are five other more. So, when we are engaging ourselves in bhakti, when we are engaging ourselves in devotional service, our material difficulties, our material problems are automatically taken care of. So why not one do something like this, that our material problems are taken care of? And as we progress in bhakti, then our desires, our material desires become less and less. So the main essence of Nectar of Devotion, which again is a shloka, which you in Bhakti Shastri one has to remember it, and it comes mostly in the question, is Anyabilashita Shunyam, Janma Karmadi, Anavritam, Anukulena Krishnanu, Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. So here Rupa Goswami is describing Uttama Bhaktir, the pure devotional service, pure devotion. And the translation of this verse is that one should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably, and the important part comes now, without desire for material profit or gain. So when we approach the Lord when we do some service without expectations in return, that is bhakti. If I come here, I do certain things in the temple, and I come to the Lord and say, Lord, today I cleaned the temple floor, so, you know, I have to pay my rent. Can you make some arrangement for that? So, Lord may make that arrangement, but it is not necessarily bhakti. That is a commercial kind of a dealing with the Lord. And generally, that is what happens. People approach, they come to the temple, there are plenty of people who come to the temple. If we go in India, the temples are full always, they are always so crowded. And if you ask, you know, all those who are visiting the temples, that why did you visit the temple? And if they are honest, they will say, oh, I have this problem or that problem. So they have a big list of problems with which they come, and they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with that list and say, my Lord, please, I have these problems. Can you find a solution for these problems? So that is the mood with which people are approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we are very, very fortunate that we have been guided properly, that we have our scriptures, we have our acharyas who are time and again repeatedly telling us that let us not engage ourselves in a commercial agreement with the Lord. Let us approach Him with a mind, with a mood that I just want to please you, I just want to serve you. I do not really expect anything in return. Why is it so important to think like that? Because the Lord has already provided us so much. See, that is what we sometimes tend to forget, that the benedictions, the facilities which the Lord has provided us, we need to thank Him for that, rather than demanding more and more. So, when we are reading these prayers of Gajendra, the king of elephants, another thing which came to my mind is to see in what ways one can pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every individual will approach the Lord in a different way. It is not necessarily that two devotees or two individuals have the similar prayers. So we have seen until now, we are doing text number 19. So in the initial, in certain texts, the prayers are of a certain nature and then of a different nature. So one way of praying to the Lord is by glorifying Him. So the devotee approaches the Lord and he really feels very happy thinking of the glories of the Lord. Then the other way is to express our fallen position to the Lord. Like we say, I am a fallen soul, please help me, you know, to serve you in a nice way. Now, it is very interesting. Our acharyas say that it is not that we are telling God that I am a fallen soul. God already knows that. It's a reminder for ourselves, because we tend to forget that very often. We tend to forget what our real position is. So when we pray in this way, it's a reminder for us that what my constitutional position is, what my actual situation is. And then we pray to the Lord that, help me, Lord. So that is another way of praying. Then the third is asking for benedictions. So in this particular purport and also in the translation, we have been reading that people approach the Lord with these desires and the Lord fulfills them. So it says, indeed sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. So we have example of, Prabhupada gives example of Dhruv Maharaj in the purport. So I presume most of you must be familiar with that story of Dhruv Maharaj. He was son of a king, and the king had two wives, Suniti and Suruchi. So Dhruv Maharaj was the son of Suniti, and he was very young boy, and he wanted to play with this, you know, like the children are very, very affectionate, they want to approach their father and play with him. So when the king was sitting in his assembly, Dhruv Maharaj comes and wanted to sit on the lap of his father. And father lovingly picked him up also. But then the stepmother, Suruchi, she saw it and she immediately chastised him that, you have not only the child who has taken birth from my womb can sit on the lap of the king, not you. So it was very, very disappointing for Dhruv as a child being chastised for sitting in the lap of his father. So he came back to his mother and, you know, he was crying and he says, you know, I want a kingdom better than that of my father. So what should I do? So the mother first thought that, you know, it's a child's immediate reaction to whatever happened, and you know, he will forget about it. But he was quite determined about it. So the mother eventually said that, you know, you can go and pray to Lord Vishnu, and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he wants, he can give you a kingdom bigger and better than that of your father. So I was hearing Srila Prabhupada's class. It is very, the way Srila Prabhupada explains is very nice. So when he was, he immediately decided to go in a forest and then meditate on the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he didn't really have much information. But he had a strong desire to do that. So we hear that when one has a strong desire, Lord fulfills it. So Lord made arrangement for Narada to meet Dhruv as he was going towards the forest. And Narada asked him the same question, that, you are such a young boy, why you are going in the forest? And he explained that, I need a kingdom superior to that of my father. So Narada tried to preach and tell him that, you know, that is all material. Why you are looking for something material? He tried to give him a little talk. And Srila Prabhupada says, so Dhruv tells him, my dear sir, what you are saying is all correct, but my need is a kingdom superior than that of my father, and that's what I want, nothing else. So then Narada said, okay, if you are so determined, then let me give you a mantra. You go and chant that mantra, and when Supreme Personality of Godhead will be happy with your prayers, maybe you will get what you are looking for. So he went in the forest and he started meditating on this mantra which was given to him by Narada. And slowly, after some time, Lord Vishnu appeared. And now see the difference. That's how the transformation takes place. So till now, the only desire which Dhruv had was to get a kingdom better and superior to that of his father. But as he was chanting the name of the Lord, and he came in contact, he came face to face with the Lord, all that desire disappeared. So when the Lord asked him that, what do you want? So he said, I wanted a lot of things, but now I don't want anything. That's how the transformation took place. Then the Lord still said, no, you had a desire to have a kingdom, so I will give you the kingdom. I will give you a kingdom superior to that of your father. But at the same time, Dhruva Maharaj was already in that Anya Bilashita Shunyam. You know, if we try to analyze this two or three words, if we break them and try to understand the meaning, it is very, very interesting and revealing. Anya means other. Abhilasha means desire. And Shunyam means zero. Nothing. So, Anya Bilashita Shunyam means no other desire or zero other desires. So, that means when you are engaged in a meaningful devotion, devotional service, you have no other desires. You have a desire, and that is only to please the Lord. There is no other desire at that time. So that is exactly what happened in case of Dhruva Maharaj. He came face to face with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all his material desires disappeared. He just wanted to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. And here, when we are reading here, Prabhupada says that even desires of whether one demands no material profit, all material profit or ultimately liberation, one should offer his obedient devotional service to the Lord, and one will get what he desires. So it is almost assured that one is going to get what he desires. But for a devotee, the desires are becoming less and less, so it is even more, it is easier to please the Lord, because we have no other material desires. Hopefully or gradually they will go away, and then our only desire is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are talking about asking for benedictions. So here is, we just heard about experience of Dhruva Maharaj. He was not a devotee of the Lord, but he became a devotee of the Lord. Now we are also trying to become devotees of the Lord, or some of you are already great devotees. So what kind of benedictions we can ask for? So our acharyas encourage us to ask for engagement in service. That is one desire we can have. And the other desire, which is very important, and I will like to talk about that little bit more, is about association of devotees. This is something which is really very close to my heart, especially because I see here faces who are living here in the temple. And I may have said this earlier so many times, that what is the big difference between staying in the temple and not staying in the temple? We have some of you, 6-7 of you, who live in the temple and you serve here. And we have many more than that, grihasthas who stay outside, who come to the temple and serve here also. But what is the main difference between the two? And I always feel that one thing which as grihasthas we lack is the direct association of devotees. See, here you are, let us say, 24/7 directly associated with the devotees. You are involved in some service or the other. And that is one thing which a person not living in the temple will miss. So that is another thing which one can ask for. And we know, I don't have to tell about the potency and the strength of association. Association with Vaishnavas, association with other devotees can really make all the difference in your devotional life, in your mood, the way you think, the attitude. It can really influence you a lot. And also by associating with other devotees and Vaishnavas, it is very, very inspiring, because each Vaishnava sets an example for the other. When Krishna and Arjuna were having discussion in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked a question, and then Krishna explained that even though I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am not bound by any rules and regulations, but still I set an example for others. Because people, when you are in position of power, when you are a senior devotee, when you are a Vaishnava, other people, they look at you and they look at what you are doing. So it is very, very important role that a Vaishnava plays in the life of others. Then the fourth and very often forgotten way of praying to the Lord is thanking the Lord. We come here, we have a big demand, we have a list of demand, which is sometimes fulfilled, sometimes very quickly, sometimes it may take time. But how many of such people come back and try to thank the Lord? Since we have a few more minutes, I can share a story with Nityanand Pran Prabhu has shared on Sunday feast some time ago. That there is a Ganesha temple in Bombay called Siddhivinayak. It's a very, very highly visited temple. You know, hundreds of thousands of people come every day to visit that temple. So one person, he was in bad need of money. Who isn't? So he went to, but he wanted to make an arrangement with the Lord. So on his way to the temple, he bought a lottery ticket. And when he went to the temple, he, in front of Lord Ganesha, he says, you know, Lord, I have bought this lottery ticket. And, you know, I know you can fulfill my desire. You can make sure that I get the first prize. And I'm not very selfish. I promise that if I get the first prize, which was, say, $100,000, let us say, I'll give you half of it. So, you know, he prayed to the Lord and came home, and every day he had a idol, a deity of Ganesha at home. He will pray to Lord Ganesha that, you know, it is one day close. Now, you know, we are moving closer to the final day. And that's how he was praying to the Lord. Then the results came. He did not get the first prize. He got the second prize, which was $50,000. So he said, you know, still, I should go to the temple and thank the Lord. So he went to the Lord in the temple, and he was praying, and he says, like, Lord, you are really great. You are so compassionate. You are so merciful. You are, you know, you fulfilled my desire. And not only you are merciful, you are compassionate, you are very intelligent. You kept your 50% of the share already with you. So that is the mentality with which people approach the Supreme Personality of God. Instead of thanking, we want to play smart. You know, that's the approach which we have. So that is where the difference comes between the thinking and the thought process of a devotee and a non-devotee. A devotee is thankful to the Lord under whatever circumstances, you know, he may be passing through. He may pass through some difficult situations. He may pass through some very, you know, favorable situations. But whatever may be the situation, a devotee is always thankful to the Lord, because Lord knows what is good for his children. Lord knows what is good for his servants. So he will always make sure that whatever is the best, you will get. When we were discussing earlier about fulfilling the desires, that is another important thing which we should not forget. That when we are making, you know, when we approach the Lord with some desires, they are getting fulfilled. But again, I will repeat that they are getting fulfilled in a way that instead of becoming a obstacle in your devotional life, it will become a catalyst. It will help you to move faster, help you to grow faster in your devotional life. And for that, I guess we can thank the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shri Shri Kishore Kishore ki jai. I would like to stop here and invite comments, discussion, questions, corrections. You want to ask something? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. The point that when we desire something from the Lord, the way He fulfills it always, or at least will give us perspective that we actually don't want that thing anymore, the way it was fulfilled. I was wondering, because, you know, sometimes we may be externally oriented, how is it that we'll see it in such a way? Is it that the Lord gives us that vision to where we could see through that the desire is not really what we really want, or does it require some sort of qualification to kind of see that the desire isn't what we really want? Do you know what I mean?
I'll try to answer, Prabhu. So, see, we ourselves do not really know what were our past karmas. So, when we are talking about artha, kama and moksha, especially economic development and sense gratification program, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that it is because the people who have such desires are still prone to getting reactions to their past karmas. So we are all have, you know, from lifetime, life after life, before life, we have gone through all that. So we have to have there is a process which will take time. We often talk about anarthas. Now, how those anarthas go away, there is no, you know, hard and fast rule or a time period prescribed. You may be able to get rid of your anarthas faster, and another person may take ages to get rid of them. Also, the mood with which you are praying to the Lord, the mood with which you are serving the Lord, plays a very, very important role. So we can think of two situations. Now you can say that I am always thinking of the Lord, but still I am not really able to make any progress in my devotional life. So there was just recently I was reading a book in which Srila Prabhupada's mantra was discussed. Let me ask you this question. Then next to the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is the most important mantra? Okay. So Srila Prabhupada says, always remember Krishna, never forget Him. So that's what it is. Now, when I was reading, this was explained, you know, it was very nicely explained that on a material platform, both may mean same. Always remember Krishna and never forget Him. But for a devotee or a pure devotee, these are two different things. So, like a devotee remembers Krishna with a favorable mood, in a positive mood. And there may be enemies of Krishna, like we had example of Hiranyakashipu, or we have example of Kansa, who never forgot Krishna for a minute. you know, when his sister Devaki was getting married to Vasudev, and the voice from the sky declared that the eighth son of Devaki is going to kill you. From that moment till Kansa died, Kansa was killed or liberated by Lord Krishna, he never for a moment forgot him. But that kind of remembering or not forgetting is very different than the way a devotee thinks of the Lord. So if we approach the Lord with faith and trust and in a positive mood, the process will become faster. And finally, one more thing which I heard in several lectures is what is the indication of that you are making a progress in devotional life? And Srila Prabhupada says that your material desires, they slowly become less and less. So if you are serving in a way, in a positive way, slowly all our material desires will go away, and we'll try to realize that all that, like in case of Dhruva Maharaj, that all that happiness which you are looking for in material possessions is only temporary, and I have to focus on something more. So this is a gradual process. When you practice, it automatically leads you higher and higher and higher. But again, the time period and the timeline will be different for different people. I heard a very interesting incident. Some Indian family living in Delhi, their son was studying here in the US. So he went on, summer break, he went to India to visit his parents. And the parents thought that, our son is living in America, which is a land of demons, so we should take him to Vrindavan, for a little bit of purification process. So Anderson was not very keen to go either in the beginning, but they persuaded him to somehow accompany the parents to Vrindavan. And they went to Vrindavan and they visited different temples and so on. And at the end of the day, the son says, "I'm not coming back with you. I'm staying here in Vrindavan. I just don't want to go." So for him, the process was so quick. Most of us will take ages before we decide that, okay, I have to leave the comforts of my house and live in Vrindavan. But that was so quick for him. So that's how it can be. You want to add something, Subhash Prabhu?
I was just thinking a little bit on the as a devotee approaching Krishna and having desires, I can just in retrospect just seeing myself, my experience, personal experience of being a devotee that is still dealing with material desires, and obviously you have a spiritual desires, and at least the experience that I have is that when I approach Krishna through the years, usually you ask for the spiritual desires, I want to serve, I want to progress, I want to overcome this and that. But your material desires, you don't ask Krishna. You make like an independent arrangement,
Mm-hmm.
I need to get some money to buy this or to do this or to get that. I need a job so I can have this, so I can mm-hmm. have that. So that, you know, you do it independently.
Yes.
So in one sense, you know, sometimes with devotees, not necessarily Krishna fulfills, you know, give you all the material things that you may desire. I guess, you know, because you're not asking. But, you know, it seems that when we become, when we sincerely come to Krishna consciousness and receive the mercy of the devotees, and sort of that higher, you know, taste of the happiness of Krishna consciousness, you get a taste of that, then naturally the only thing that you can ask the Lord is to get you closer, to be able to come closer. And I guess it's a very natural evolution. You know, it's, I can have a face to come to Krishna and ask him, you know, like, you know, I really want a new car. You know? It happens to the devotees like that. If you need a new car, you just better, you know, get a you know, better job or something like that. You know?
Thank you so much for sharing. It is really very, very nice way of putting the things. Because Krishna knows what is conducive for our devotional life. We ourselves may not know that. And Krishna is going to make sure that we grow in our, you know, devotion. So he is going to take care of our other needs so that we don't have to, you know, sacrifice our devotional life. Yes, Prabhu.
One thing to add to that is, you know, independence is, you know, the sense of independence that we have is one of the most powerful shackles that keep us here in the material world. Mm-hmm. That's the initial thing that we wanted that took us away from Krishna. So it's never a good formula.
Mm-hmm.
So in one sense, when we mature in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will automatically give everything that is required for us. You know?
Yes.
He gave Sudama a huge material facility.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave Dhruva a huge material facility. He gave Prahlad a huge material facility. But, you know, at one point, we don't have to, when we fully understand that we don't have to worry about the things Krishna will provide, then, you know, it happens. It's when we fully depend on Krishna. What we're trying to get cure is this sense of independence. You know?
Yes, Prabhu. As you were saying this, I'm reminded of an analogy which somebody gave about Gajendra's leg being caught by a crocodile. And so he says that, as a matter of fact, all of us, we also have our legs in the mouth of a crocodile. But the teeth of the crocodile are so soft that we don't recognize it. We don't realize it, that we are in the clutches of Maya. So that is the game, you know, Maya plays. It makes it so attractive for us that we think, oh yeah, this is better. So that's what happens. That's what illusion is. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.